Turn to the book of Mark, please. Mark chapter number 4. It's always a joy to get to come and be here. Your preacher always expects me to be a blessing to y'all, and it's always the other way around. Y'all are always a blessing to me. Amen. So I appreciate that. Appreciate the Lord letting us come this way once again. Well, it helps me relax a little bit to tell a funny. Can y'all take one this morning? I heard about Snow White and Superman and Pinocchio was all walking down the road together. Snow White saw a sign that said, World's Most Beautiful Woman Contest. She said, y'all wait right here, I'll be right back. Went in there and came out with a huge trophy. They walked on down the road a little further, and Superman saw a sign that said, World's Strongest Man Contest. He said, y'all wait right here, I'll be right back. Came out with a huge trophy. They walked on down the road a little further, and Pinocchio saw a sign that said, World's Biggest Liar Contest. He said, I got this, y'all wait right here. So he walked in there and stayed gone. Finally, he came out. His nose was about a mile long, and he was crying. They said, what happened? He said, who is Hillary Clinton anyway? I'm happy about the election. Amen. I tell you, I believe God has given us a space of grace. Amen. And I don't believe we need to quit praying. I believe we need to keep on praying and pray that God will give Mr. Trump wisdom. Mr. Pence is a great Christian. We need to pray that he will have a profound influence on him. Amen. And then we need to repent ourselves. The problem's not in Washington. Amen. The problem's in the church house. Amen. So I believe we need to get thoroughly right with God. Amen. Well, I do wish you'd pray for me. I'm going to the eye doctor the 16th. I've been having some trouble with my eyes, and I went the other day and found out I've got cataracts, and I don't know exactly what all they're going to do about that. I'm a diabetic, so I've been having trouble now for a few months. So I wish you'd pray about that. I don't want to lose my sight. Amen. All right. Mark chapter number 4 this morning, and I want to begin reading in verse number 35. It said, in the same day when the eve was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other little ships, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and saith unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? And then I'm going to read you one verse out of Nahum, and I'm going to come back to Mark. Here's what he said in Nahum chapter number 1 and verse number 3. The Lord is slow to anger and great in power, and will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of his feet. Now I want to preach on this subject with the help of the Lord this morning on keep me safe till the storm passes by. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you now for the opportunity to be in your house once again today. And Lord, truly we are needy people. And God, I know I need you today. And I appreciate your presence already that I felt. And I pray now, Lord, that you'd take me as an instrument in your hand and use me for your honor and for your glory. Master, I sure do need you today. Help me to help your people. God, I pray that we might be encouraged and strengthened through the preaching of your word. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. I know this is kind of a strange message to preach on Sunday morning, but it's been on my heart ever since Brother Wayne asked me to come. And let me say that it's been said you're either in a storm, you just came out of a storm, or you're getting ready to go into a storm. And I believe that this text here in Mark chapter number 4 has some things that can help us. I see, first of all, in verse number 35, it said this: "And the same day when the eve was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side." I see, first of all, that they had the word of God. Amen. He said, "Let us pass over to the other side." You know, there are some things that God cannot do. One of them is fail. Amen. It's impossible for God to fail. Amen. Another one is lie. It's impossible for God to lie. Amen. He tells in Numbers 23 and verse number 19, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" So we have God's word on it. Our Bible is full of promises that God has given to us. Now, a lot of times they don't mean anything to us until we have to start making application and claiming those promises in our life. And then that's when I like to say they become God's three P's, or three P's in a pod. They become proven, precious promises. Amen. Hey, when you've tried God, when you've took His word, and you've seen God hear and answer prayer, then you know God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. Amen. Hey, everything He's ever said has come true. Amen. I was witnessing to a guy here a while back, and he said, "I've been hearing all my life the Lord's coming back, and it hadn't happened yet." I said, "The Bible talks about people like you." He got interested. He said, "It does." I said, "Oh, yeah." I said, "There was a preacher just like me that preached a crowd like you for 120 years that there's going to be a flood. And one of the day, God broke up the fountains of the deep, and He opened up the heavens." And I said, "And He destroyed all of mankind except for Noah and his family." I said, "The first time it was with a flood." I said, "The next time it's going to be with fire. And just because it ain't happened yet don't mean it ain't going to." Amen. We have God's word on it. Amen. Well, not only do they have the word of God, but they had the wealth of God. They had Him on board. Look at verse number 36. "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him, even as He was in the ship, and there were also with Him other little ships." I picked that phrase out the other day. They took Him even as He was. Let me say this. If you're going to get to heaven, you're going to have to take Him as He is. Amen. But they had the wealth of God. They had the very Lord Jesus Christ on board with them. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8 and verse number 9, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that ye through His poverty might be made rich." Amen. Hey, God has promised us in Philippians chapter number 4 and verse number 9, He says, "But God shall supply all your needs according to His riches in glory." Amen. In fact, it even goes further than that. It says that the Lord knows what we have need of even before we ask Him. Amen. So we have the wealth of God. Amen. Billy Kelly used to say it like this. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and the taters under the hills. Amen. He owns it all, and God can supply our every need. We have the wealth of God. Amen. Well, then I see the wind and the waves. Look at verse number 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. Now, the wind and the waves, as I said already, we are going to have troubles and trials and storms in our life. Now, I see basically three kinds of storms that are going to happen in life. I see storms of temptation. Now, these are not from God. Storms of temptation do not come from God. In fact, he tells in the book of James, chapter number 1, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Amen. Now, these storms of temptation, hey, you can mark her down. I may not know what your weakness is, and you don't know what my weakness is, but I guarantee you, the devil knows what your weakness is. Amen. I was telling some of them today, before we got started this morning, my boy, my youngest boy a few years ago, run up behind me and jumped on my back, and he had me, but he stuck his arm around in front of me, and when he did, I went and bit him. He turned me loose. Amen. And he said, no fair, no fair. I turned around and looked at him. I said, I ain't never been in a fair fight. Amen. But I'm saying to you and me this morning, if you're counting on the devil to fight fair, it's not going to happen. Hey, he's going to pick our weakest point, amen, our lowest spot, and that's where he's going to attack us at. Amen. Hey, not only that, he'll wait until we're at our lowest point, and that's when he'll attack us. Amen. Hey, you can mark her down that we're going to have some storms of temptation that are going to come our way. But God has promised us that with the temptation, he's made a way of escape. Hallelujah. Well, then I see storms of tribulation. Now, these come from society. But the Bible tells us in John chapter number 16 and verse number 33, he said, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have what? Tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Amen. Storms of tribulation. I got news for you. This health and wealth crowd that you see on television that wants you to send them money, and they tell you everything will be all right. They tell you if anything's wrong in your life, it's because you're not right with God. Evidently, they've never read that verse. Amen. I had a guy tell me, or I heard him on TV, he said this. He said, send for a piece of my shirt that I sweated on. Send $50 today. Put it under your pillow and everything will be okay. Give me $50 after church. I'll give you my whole shirt. Go buy me some new ones. Amen. Do you understand what I'm telling you? We're going to have storms of tribulation. Hey, in our day and time, what does the Bible tell us? And all that will live godly in Christ Jesus can, might, no. What does it say? Shall suffer persecution. Amen. Hey, if they hated our Lord, they're going to hate us. Amen. Hey, all you've got to do in our day and time is try to live right in front of people, and they'll hate you for it. Amen. Hey, not only is it that way in the world, but it's got to where it's about as bad in the church. People don't want you any closer to God than they are because it convicts them of where they're living at. Amen. You understand what I'm telling you? I'm telling you, just try to live right and they'll hate you for it. Amen. That's the world we're living in. Amen. Hey, I never thought I'd live to see the day when you could preach against sodomy in our local independent Baptist churches and people would get mad at you for it. But that's where we're living.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Hey, when you preach against, and by the way, that crowd that just preaches, they ask, what's his name? 142 teeth. Osteen. They asked Osteen the other day on Good Morning America why he didn't preach against sin. He said, God's never called me to do that. Hey, God never called any preacher to preach one kind of message. Amen. We're to preach the whole counsel of God. And that sucker doesn't love you that won't tell you the truth. It's a man of God that's trying to keep your family out of hell and keep them together that loves you and cares about you that'll tell you the truth. Amen. That's the man of God that loves you. Amen. I don't even believe Joel Osteen's saved. Amen. I'm simply saying today, storms of tribulation come from society. Storms of temptation, not from God. But then, storms of testing and trials. And these come from the Savior. 1 Peter chapter number 1 and verse number 7 says this, "The trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ." Here's what it said in verse number 38. "He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Hey, you think he wasn't aware of what was going on? Amen. Hey, trials come from the Savior. You know when people really watch us? They don't watch us when everything is going all right in our life. They watch us when our world is falling apart. Because anybody says that their God can be God when everything's okay. But when you have all kinds of things going wrong in your life, that's when they won't see if your God's real or not. Amen. By the way, I'm simply saying that these trials, the trial of your faith, amen. Hey, there's an old song that says this, "If I never had a problem, I would know that God could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do." Amen. "Through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God." Hey, that's how you and me can go to the funeral home. And even though we're saddened by a loved one's passing, we can still have peace. Amen. Do you understand? The world does not understand that. Hey, when the doctor says it's cancer, and everybody else is just tore all to pieces, and yet we as a Christian, even though we don't welcome it most of the time, we can still have peace. Amen. I read this years ago. I've wrote it in every Bible I've ever owned. Sorrow is a fruit, and God doesn't put it on trees that can't bear it. So He allows. He allows, do you understand? Trials to come in our life. These storms of trials come from God. Amen. Now, I believe there's three kinds of storms that He allows to come our way. I see, first of all, these detecting storms. Now, detecting storms there in verse 38 said, "He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and they say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish?" Now, these detecting storms come to find out where you're at. Amen. They come to find out where you're at. Amen. Hey, I don't know about you, but I don't jump out of bed in the morning and say, "Woo! It's good to be alive." You might as well not even talk to me until I've had a shower. Amen. My brother's one of those fellows that as soon as his feet hits the floor, he starts singing. I always wanted to slap him. Amen. I don't do mornings. Amen. But God sometimes allows storms to come in our life because they detect things. You say, preacher, what do they detect? They detect your character. Amen. Hey, you know what character is? Character is what you are when nobody else is around. Let me give you an example. You're in bad financial straits. And you stop to get a bite to eat at a fast food place. And the little girl behind the counter gives you back too much change. Now we're fixing to find out whether you got character or not. Do you stick it in your pocket? Or do you give it back to her? Because if you stick it in your pocket, that's stealing. Amen. And I'll guarantee you when the devil's going to do it, Brother Allen. He's going to do it when you need the money worse than they knew. Amen. But it's character. Do you understand? It's important. I have never seen a day and time when we have so little character. Amen. Hey, little character behind our pulpits, little character in our pews. Hey, I remember when just lost people had character. Amen. But now nobody has any character anymore. Amen. So I'm saying these detecting storms detect our character. Well, not only that, it detects your confidence. What are you putting your confidence in? Here's what the Bible said in Psalms 118, verse number 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. He said in Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. 1 John chapter number 5 and verse number 14. This is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. As I said already, I'm happy about the election, but I'm not looking to Mr. Trump to fix all our problems. Amen. My confidence is not in Washington, D.C. My confidence is in the Lord. Amen. Hey, and whether this thing gets better or whether it continues to go downhill, hey, the worse it looks, the better it looks for us to get out of here. My confidence is in the Lord. Amen. And he's promised that we're going to get out of here one of these days. Amen. So don't put your confidence in man. Amen. Hey, they'll let you down. Do you understand? Hey, man will fail you. But I got news for you. The Lord has never failed. Amen. Well, detects your character, detects your confidence. I'm talking about these detecting storms. It detects your capability. When a storm comes in your life, it detects what you're capable of. It's kind of like when Moses sent the spies to spy out the land. Now, I remind you, God had already given it to them. That was a promise that they had of God. He'd already given them a land that flowed with milk and honey. Amen. I don't know about you, but if they had grapes and it took two dudes to carry one cluster on a pole, I believe it would have been worth fighting for. I picture watermelons as big as a school bus. Praise God. Amen. But here's what I'm saying to you. 10 of them said, hey, they are giants in the land and we are like grasshoppers in their sight. But Joshua and Caleb said, we are well able. Let us go over. Amen. Hey, they was ready for a fight. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm telling you today? Hey, they said, we are capable. We are able. Amen. It detects your capability. Let me just say this. If you are willing to let God use you, I read this somewhere too. It said, God will not take you against your will, but if you are willing, he will take you further than you ever imagined. Amen. I tell people this all the time. They don't believe me, but I like the failed speech class because I wouldn't get up in front of people and talk. I've gotten over that. Amen. But I'm saying to you that, you said, preacher, how do you get over that? You trust God. You remember what Moses told Aaron? Or he told God, he said, I'm not able to speak. God said, who made man's mouth? He said, but I'll send Aaron with you. Amen. And then Aaron didn't get it. He couldn't hardly get a word in edgewise. Amen. Hey, God will allow us. Amen. He'll see how far our faith has progressed. Well, detecting storms. And then I see that there are directing storms. Verse number 39. Said, he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Nothing can happen in our lives that God does not allow. Did you hear what I said? Nothing can happen in our life. Hey, before the devil could put his hand upon Job, he had asked for permission, amen. Hey, and God had to let the heads down before he could do anything. Amen. So I'm saying if you and I, these storms that sometimes come in our life, God allows them to give us direction. I remember when the Lord was dealing with me about preaching. I had a good job. I was making lots of money. I worked 3 12-hour shifts, was off 4 days. Every 3 months I was off a whole week and then had vacation on top of all of that. I'm telling you, I had it made. And then the company came in and said, we're moving our operations to Denver, Colorado. And everybody was upset about that. But I had already surrendered my life to God. And they was wondering how I could be so calm with all of that going on. I said, God's in control. Amen. I said, and God has a plan for my life. Amen. I thought about Naomi over there. She heard how the Lord had visited her people. Amen. Hey, she had buried a husband. She had buried 2 sons. But when she heard how God had visited people, she went back to where she came from and took Ruth with her. And she told her, said, I'm not going to bear any more sons. Just go back to your gods and your people. She said, I'm not going anywhere but with you. Amen. And we get over there and come to find out she goes to glean in the field of a kinsman redeemer. Hallelujah. And we see a woman that had nothing left. And when you read the last chapter of Ruth, she's sitting there rocking a baby. Hallelujah. God has a plan. Do you understand? Hey, not only do I see the plan of God in this matter of directing storms, but sometimes God will allow storms to come into your life that you might see the person of God. Think about this. You read the story of Joseph. Now, you're talking about having it bad. His own brothers threw him in a pit. Huh? Then they sold him into slavery, where he was lied on by a wicked woman and thrown in prison, where he interpreted a dream, and then they forgot about him. Huh? But every time something drastic, you know, we'd be singing the blues, oh, God, why'd you let this happen to me? Huh? But every time you read something drastic happening in Joseph's life, it's always followed by these words. And the Lord was with him. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, even when his brothers come down there and he reveals himself to them, he says, ye meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Hallelujah. The whole time, you say, why did he have to go through all that? Because God was revealing himself to him, and he was preparing him to be second only to Pharaoh in all the land of Egypt. And in doing so, he was saving his people too. Amen. Well, we see the plan of God. We see the place of God. We see the person of God. Hey, God reveals Himself. I can honestly say this. I've learned more about Him not when everything was going all right in my life, but when troubles and trials. In other words, I've not done my growing on the mountaintop. I've done my growing in the valley. Amen. That is when I have learned more about the Lord. Hey, I've learned, you know, it's just like my wife. They was talking about this in Sunday school this morning. I thought I loved her when I married her, but I didn't have a clue. Huh? We've been married 34 years now. I can say today that I love her more today than I did when I married her. I know more about her today. Hey, if it was good when I got saved. But I got news for you. I love Him more today than I did when I got saved, because I've seen Him do a lot of things. Amen. Hey, He has revealed His character to me. Hey, He's revealed His attributes to me. Do you understand what I'm telling you? I love Him. And you know what real true love is? It's when somebody knows all your faults and all your failures and loves you in spite of it. And that's the way it is with us and God. Well, let me give you one last one this morning. Detecting storms and directing storms, but then I see developing storms. Here's what He said in verse number 40. He said unto them, "Why are ye so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" I don't know about you, but that guy in the Bible that said, "Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief." That's where I live at a lot of times. I wish I had more faith. I really do. You understand what I'm telling you? I've been praying this lately. I've started praying some Bible verses. And one of the things I'm praying is, "Lord, help me to love You with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength." Amen. These storms that come in our life, these developing storms, they come because they sanitize. You see, preacher, what are you talking about? Well, the hotter the fire, the purer the gold. When the heat gets turned up in our life, all that stuff that's dross raises to the surface. I don't know about you, but sometimes I allow things to get in my life that need to be dealt with. Not necessarily bad things, do you understand? But if they're taking the place of God, let me just hit one right here. Well, maybe two, all right? We are at that time of the year, and there ain't nothing wrong with deer hunting. But if you lay out a church to do it, there's something wrong with that. Amen. You say, "Well, preacher, I can worship God in the woods." Hey, I may have been born at night, but it wasn't last night. Amen. You're not sitting out there thinking about God. You're sitting out there looking for that 10-point buck. Amen. You understand what I'm telling you? It can be nothing wrong with it, but if we allow it to take us away from God, then it becomes something wrong. I'm firmly convinced if you throw a ball off in hell, most Christians would chase it. Amen. Hey, I like to watch Alabama play football. In fact, I watched it last night. But guess what? You're crazy if you think I'd shout and scream. We was in a restaurant watching part of it. And when Alabama recovered the fumble in the end zone, then fumbled it back to them right on the 2-yard line, I lost my cool and forgot where I was at and screamed. My wife went, "Shh." But you're crazy if you think I'm going to get excited about a football game and not get excited about the Lord. Hey, they ain't nobody going to remember 100 years from now who won what. Amen. But I got news for you. He did something for me that I'm going to remember from here to eternity. Amen. And I'm saying sometimes those storms come in our life to get those things out that would hinder and harm, amen, us from serving the Lord. Well, those storms that sanitize. And then there are the storms that stabilize. Sometimes God allows storms in our life. It's kind of like a palm tree. For every bit that you see sticking out of the ground, there's a root that's going down the other way that far. Amen. Hey, I've seen them lay all the way over, and when the storm's over, they stand right back up. Amen. Hey, I'm saying to you and I, if storms never came in our life, a lot of times we wouldn't know what we believe. Amen. I remember years ago when I left home and went to school, there was a big fight going on over the King James Bible. And I tell you what it caused me to do. Not to listen to what everybody else said, but it caused me to study and find out what I believe for myself. Amen. And I'm saying when storms come in our life, hey, if young people, if you wait until somebody offers you alcohol before you make up your mind whether you're going to take a drink or not, you have waited too late. Amen. Yeah, hey, you don't have to have my convictions, but you ought to get you a Bible and get some convictions of your own. Even the world knows that. They wrote a song about it. You've got to stand for something or you'll fall for anything. Amen. Well, storms come because they sanitize, because they stabilize, because they synchronize. That's a military term that means they help you get in step. Amen. Sometimes storms come in our life because we simply get out of step with God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be ahead of Him, and I don't want to be behind Him, but I want to be right beside Him. Amen. I'm simply saying to you today, I don't know, have any idea. I heard the preacher mention this morning about our brother losing his son-in-law. That's an awful thing. Maybe you've got family problems. Maybe you've got financial problems. Maybe you've got health problems. I went to visit with a preacher, a lady in the hospital, and she's never going home. And the preacher and I went in there, and he said this to her. He said to her, I hate that this is happening to you. And do you know what her reply was with a smile on her face? She said, "Old preacher, don't worry about me." She said, "This has been a wonderful thing." She said, "I'm going home to be with the Lord in a little bit." She said, "But while I've been here," she said, "I've won a dozen of these nurses to the Lord." She said, "And I've witnessed to a bunch of these doctors." She said, "I believe some of them's going to get saved too." She said, "And I can't wait to see the Lord." Now, we would look at it as a bad thing. But she's in there rejoicing over what the Lord's doing. Hey, that preacher called me a few weeks after I was there. He was at the hospital when that lady, when it got close to time for her to die. And the nurse was in there in the room. And that little lady began to tell that preacher how she wanted her funeral conducted. And she said, "Oh, there they are. I'm almost out of here." Said she raised her little arm, went, "Whoo!" and died. Said that nurse in the room that was in tears, she said, "Oh, preacher." She said, "I got to get saved." She said, "I don't have what she has." Amen. Even in her death, she had an influence for God. Family problems, financial problems, health problems. I don't know what your problem is today, but I know somebody that can help you with your problem. Amen. And that's the Lord. Keep me safe till the storm passes by. The last verse of that song says this: when the long night is ended and the storms come no more, let me rest in thy presence on that bright, peaceful shore. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the preaching of the Word of God. Lord, it sure has been good to be in your house today. And God, you know, you and you alone, God, know what is in our hearts today. God, you know what troubles that we all have and all face. And God, I'm glad that you're there to help us. And God, I pray, Lord, that you'd give strength this morning where strength is needed. God, I pray that you'd give comfort where comfort is needed. God, I thought about this. I'm afraid of the storms a lot of times. But as long as you're by my side, I don't fear, because I know, Lord, you're not going to let anything happen that's not in your control. So you have your will and your way this morning. We'll thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. You can stand to your feet today if the Lord's spoken to your heart. You come ahead this morning while we have our sister play. How about it?